Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, April 19th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 4, let's start with the corrected translation, verses 1 through 4. Because of this unique spiritual life of the church age described in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, since we keep on having this ministry, every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. Just as we have received mercy, grace in action, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living or walking in the sphere of deception, Satan's cosmic system, serving our own purposes and ends, nor falsifying or distorting the Word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, and in fact, if our gospel is being hidden, first class condition, and it is being hidden to the ones who are perishing, in whose case, unbelievers who are perishing, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. Very powerful statement at the end of verse 4. It declares that Jesus Christ is the living and true God. You see, you can never understand the person of Christ until, first of all, you understand that He is the eternal God. Jesus Christ is Ekon Tu Thau. He is the exact image of God. He is undiminished deity. He has the exact same essence as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. And on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God left heaven and took on true humanity so that He could fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. By His salvation work on the cross, unlimited atonement, every member of the human race is savable. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance, metanoeo, a change of thinking, a change of mind about Jesus Christ, and simply believe in Him and His finished work on the cross for eternal salvation. And then verse 5 says, indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. In this verse, the objective negative who slams the door, the Apostle Paul was not serving his own personal interests. He was not making an issue out of himself. He made the issue out of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In verse 5, Paul is picking up what he was teaching in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Unlike the false teachers in Corinth, he did not distort the grace gospel, but rather he openly and boldly proclaimed the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Christ was the focus of Paul's teaching. Paul's ministry was to proclaim Jesus Christ and proclaim the policy of the King of all kings and not his own personal interests. And then we have with that the reflexive pronoun heautou, ourselves. Instead, indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And then the end of the verse, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. That's very powerful the way he puts it. The communicators of the Word of God are unconditionally obligated to serve you, to serve the royal family of God. They are obligated to feed the grace and truth of the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. Jesus Christ made that very clear in John 21, 15 to 17, when he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes? Then feed my sheep. Every communicator of the Word of God is obligated. He's under unconditional obligation and responsibility to feed the Lord's sheep. And therefore, there's only one reason for today. There are no apostles today in the post-canon period of the church age, just pastors. But it's the pastor's responsibility to study and teach and study and teach and study and teach and study and teach, not running off to watch the Golden Knights lose in hockey. And if you went to see that instead of come here, you ought to get your ass up and get out and stay out. It's not my responsibility I'm not here to go to watch hockey games. Besides, it's too damn much money. Can't afford to go to watch a hockey game. My responsibility to go watch sports. It's my responsibility to study, teach, study, teach, study, teach, study, teach, so that I can fulfill the obligation that Jesus Christ. Notice what the end of this verse says. Because of Jesus and ourselves as your servants, because of Jesus. Do you love me, Pastor Olson? Then feed my sheep. I have an obligation as a pastor to feed the grace and truth of the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. Pastors are obligated to feed the Word of God to the Lord's sheep. And that brought us to, we just were getting started in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It actually, the first word is the conjunction hati, which is a causal conjunction. It doesn't translate it for, it should be translated because. Because. Hati introduces the cause or the reason why Paul proclaimed the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And then, now that the Apostle Paul is going to make an allusion. I said that word and some of you thought I said illusion. This is, Paul's not giving an illusion. Now, if you'd have been at Dallas Seminary and take the use of the Old Testament and the New, you would know this, see? Paul is now making an allusion from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It's not a direct quotation from Genesis 1, 3, but rather, Paul is alluding to this verse. Let's turn over for a moment. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, in the beginning, see, God loves baseball. In the big inning. He loves track and field. He loves baseball. He doesn't give a damn about soccer. In the beginning, God created the heavens, and God here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. It was not the Father, was not the Holy Spirit, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. In the beginning, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, but the earth became tohu wabohu. That's not good. You don't want anything to become tohu wabohu. And the illustration is, as unbelievers, you were tohu wabohu. All of us were tohu wabohu. That wasn't good. We needed regeneration, and so did the earth. The earth was tohu, became tohu wabohu. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, incubating the ice pack. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is what Paul is alluding to in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, and that was day one. Day one. 6 days of regeneration and recreation. That was day one. And so we noted that, by way of introduction, the darkened, chaotic earth resembles the condition of all of us and mankind in the status of being unbelievers. Every human being is born, you might say, tohu wabohu, in the status of spiritual death, which is total depravity and separation from God. And like the lifeless, primitive earth, the spiritually dead unbeliever is enveloped in spiritual darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And the only hope of spiritual life comes from God. What the Holy Spirit accomplished for the earth in renewal, he does in regeneration, when a person believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So let's look again at what he is now making an allusion to Genesis 1:3. Genesis 1, verse 1, starts out in verse 1 and says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Lord Jesus Christ. So a couple of points. One, the creator of all things is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Genesis 1:1. Turn over to John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, 1 through 5. Here the Lord Jesus Christ has the title, the Logos. There is the written word and there's the living word. Jesus Christ is the living word. Jesus Christ is the Logos. And as the living word, the Logos, he is the creator of all things. And this is fantastic. Again, in the Greek, this is fantastic. Now, it starts out and says, in the beginning. This is in the beginning, which was not a beginning. In a beginning which was not a beginning. And then we have the verb eimi, and we're going to have it over and over and over again. Eimi, E-I-M-I, and it's in the imperfect tense. Yeah, that is so important. Eimi in the imperfect tense. In the beginning which was not a beginning, eimi plus the imperfect tense. The eternally existing word. The word was eternally existing. That's Amy in the imperfect tense. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, the word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, was eternally existing. And the word, Jesus Christ, the Logos, Amy plus the imperfect, was eternally existing, pros plus the accusative, face to face with God the Father. And the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, was, Amy plus the imperfect tense, was the eternally existing God. Verse 2, he, the Logos, Jesus Christ, was, Amy plus the imperfect, was the eternally existing in the beginning, which was not a beginning, face to face with God the Father. Verse 3. All things. were created through Him, the Logos, Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, nothing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. John 1, 1-5. Now turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I love John 1, 1-5. That is just... But if you don't... if you study from the English, why, you will communicate about one-tenth of an inch down instead of getting down about 3 feet. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:16, for by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him, Jesus Christ, and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things are held together. So, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created the heavens and the earth. Point one, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the creator of the universe. Genesis 1:1, John 1, 1-5, Colossians 1:16 and 17. Two, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created the universe and everything in the universe. The living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created the universe and everything in the universe. Three, creationism is absolute truth. Creationism is absolute truth. Evolution is a total lie. Total lie. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creationism. Are you kidding me? Somewhere out there, a little amoeba got together with another amoeba and collided and got together and then became a little cell, and then over millions of years the cell became a little fish that was down in the water, and then the fish crawled out on land, and then became a monkey and climbed up in a tree, and then the monkey jumped out of the tree and became man. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ created. Creationism is absolute truth. Evolution is the lie. Lifeless matter did not accidentally spawn living organisms over millions of years. Rather, everything was created instantly. Instantly. Not millions and millions of years. Instantly. By an omnipotent God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He just spoke. He just spoke. And everything was created. Four, the order and arrangement of the universe demands a designer. The order and arrangement of the universe demands a designer. We now have developed these fantastic microscopes that can go in and they can take a cell apart. And when they look at that cell, it's a universe. A universe in that little tiny cell. A whole universe in an atom. A universe. Or you can look out into the universe Whether you are looking at the tiniest microorganisms or the largest galaxy, they all reveal design, purpose, and adaptation. And that requires a master planner, the Lord Jesus Christ. 5. The very grandeur of creation displays the majestic glory and attributes of God. The very grandeur of creation displays the majestic glory and attributes of God. Turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the human author David, man after the Lord's own heart. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. Why? Because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength. That's why he was a man after the Lord's own heart. Oh yeah, he sinned. And we know about his sins more than we know about most people's sins. And he came under discipline from God for those, but he rebounded. He wrote out the discipline, and while there were people who tried to kill him, his own son tried to throw him off the. He did remove him from king, and then Ahithophel, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and Ahithophel hated David. He wanted to kill David. Because David committed adultery with his granddaughter while she was married. So he joined the revolution with Absalom. And together they were going to destroy David. Both Ahithophel and Absalom died the sin unto death. They did not destroy David. David was restored to king of Israel and restored with greater blessings than he ever had before. He was a man after the Lord's own heart. Why? Because he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength. Now, he's the human author here. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that unbelievers are without excuse. Unbelievers have no excuse. All they have to do is just look up and see the creation of Jesus Christ. This is another. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man, unbelievers, are without excuse. So the very grandeur of creation displays the majestic glory and attributes of God. Psalm 19, 1 to 6, Romans 1, 20, 6. Prior to Genesis 1, 1, no universe existed. Prior to Genesis 1, 1, no universe existed. There was no matter. There was no energy. There was no time. Nothing but the triune God and His angels. 7. The Bible records four distinct beginnings. Four distinct beginnings. First, the first is not a true beginning. It is the eternal, self-existent God. God has no beginning. God has no beginning or no end. So the first beginning is not a true beginning. It is the eternal, self-existent God. Two, the second is the creation of angels. The second is the creation of angels. At some time in eternity past, before the creation of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ created the angels. So at some time in eternity past, before the creation of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ created the angels. And therefore, the angels were present and observed the creation of the universe. The angels were present and they observed the creation of the universe. Turn over to Job. Job 38. Job chapter 38. Job 38. Let's start at verse 4. Where were you when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you must know. Sarcasm. God the Holy Spirit has sarcasm. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? Verse 7. While the morning stars sang together. Who are the morning stars? The angels. While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy as they watched Jesus Christ created the universe. All the angels were there and shouted with joy as they watched Jesus Christ create the universe. So the second beginning is the creation of angels. Therefore, the angels were present and observed the creation of the universe. Job 38, 4 through 7, verse 7. The third beginning is the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, 1. The heavens and the earth. The universe was created as the domain of the angels. Throughout the universe, the angels ruled and performed whatever responsibilities and tasks that God assigned for them. During this span of time, Lucifer and one-third of the angels had not yet rebelled against God, and therefore all the angels shouted for joy as the Lord Jesus Christ created the universe in Job 38, 4 through 7. But eventually, Lucifer and one-third of the angels did rebel against God. And that rebellion is seen in Isaiah 14, 14, where Satan declared, "I will make myself like the Most High God." Isaiah 14, 14, and then Ezekiel 28. Turn over to Ezekiel 28. The most extensive passage describing the fall of Satan. And also, it gives you an understanding of how great Lucifer was. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man." That's the title for Ezekiel. "Take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection." That was Satan before his fall. "The model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He was the most beautiful creature ever to come from the hand of God. The most beautiful creature. Not red underwear with a pitchfork. If you believe that, you are already, he's got you. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, and emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. He guarded the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ before his fall. For I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created by Jesus Christ, until arrogance was found in you." What was his fall? Pride, arrogance. "Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub," the angel that guarded the throne of Jesus Christ, "from among the fiery stones. And your heart became proud on account of your beauty." The most beautiful creature ever to come from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings." So the third beginning is the heavens and the earth. And during this span of time, the universe was created as the domain of the angels. And throughout the universe, the angels ruled and performed whatever responsibilities and tasks God assigned them for them. And during the span of that time, Lucifer and one-third of the angels had not yet rebelled against God. And therefore the angels shouted for joy as the Lord Jesus Christ created the universe, Job 38, verse 7. The battleground of this prehistoric angelic revolt centered on one tiny little planet in the universe. Satan's rebellion brought chaos upon the earth. As a part of God's judgment against the rebellious angels, the planet was enshrouded in darkness. Without light or heat, the raging waters of the deep froze into an ice pack. Genesis 1 verse 2. And before the earth could again be inhabited, restoration had to take place. So that's the fourth beginning. The fourth beginning is of the human race. God renovated the earth for the final creation, the creation of man. The fourth beginning is of the human race. God renovated the earth for the final creation, the creation of man. So let's get a summary of the events between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Summary of events between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. 1. In verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ created a perfect heavens and earth. Perfect heavens and earth. The earth was not in a state of chaos. The Lord Jesus Christ did not create the earth in a state of chaos. That's actually blasphemy. Now, turn over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 18. So in Genesis 1:1, Jesus Christ created a perfect heavens and a perfect earth. The earth was not in a state of chaos. The Lord Jesus Christ did not create the earth in a state of chaos. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it, and He did not create it. Tohu. That's the word there. He did not create it tohu. He did not create it desolate and in chaos. Can you read that? I think even most of you can get this. Jesus Christ did not create it chaos. Tohu. He is the... Thus saith the Lord. If Pastor Brekel was here, he'd go, "Thus saith the Lord!" And he'd pound the pulpit. He's not here, he's in heaven, so I'll take his place. "Thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it, and He did not create it tohu, desolate, chaos, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else." So in verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ created a perfect heavens and earth. The earth was not in a state of chaos. It was not tohu. The Lord Jesus Christ did not create the earth in a state of chaos. Isaiah 45, 18. 2. Between verse 1 and verse 2, a catastrophe occurred in the universe, which centered on planet Earth. Between verse 1 and verse 2, a catastrophe occurred in the universe, which centered on planet Earth. 3. The catastrophe was the fall of Satan. The catastrophe was the fall of Satan and the subsequent angelic conflict, which turned the original earth into tohu wabohu, desolation and chaos. The catastrophe was the fall of Satan and the subsequent angelic conflict, which turned the original earth into tohu wabohu, desolation and chaos. Four, therefore, the prehistoric angelic conflict originated between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And eventually will be resolved by human history. Therefore, the prehistoric angelic conflict originated between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and eventually will be resolved by human history. Five. The destruction of the original earth is directly related to the fall of Satan and the angelic conflict. The destruction of the original earth is directly related to the fall of Satan and the angelic conflict. Six, the divine judgment pronounced against the fallen angels included enshrouding the earth in darkness. Enshrouding the earth in darkness. The divine judgment pronounced against the fallen angels included enshrouding the earth in darkness. Seven, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, the earth was packed in ice. The earth was packed in ice. Between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, the earth was packed in ice. Eight, beneath the ice, everything was tohu wabohu, chaos. But the earth, Genesis 1:2, but the earth became tohu wabohu. Nine, beneath the ice, everything was chaos. And above the ice, darkness. Beneath the ice, everything was chaos. And above the ice, everything was darkness. And now we have the regeneration of planet Earth. Remember, this is an illusion Paul is making. He is talking about the glorious gospel of grace of Jesus Christ. And every one of us, we were born in tohu wabohu. And we needed regeneration. And that was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Regeneration, born again. God the Holy Spirit created a human spirit. God the Father imputed eternal life to the human spirit. We have regeneration. Well, that's why he's alluding to this. Paul's a genius. And God the Holy Spirit took the genius of Paul to communicate these truths. So the regeneration of planet Earth is an allusion to the regeneration of the unbeliever at salvation. So Genesis 1:2b says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The earth, covered by the ice pack, was void of life. And only God could generate life in a barren world. So one, restoration from chaos began with the regeneration activity of God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Restoration from chaos began with the regeneration activity of God the Holy Spirit. Two, the grace of God would transform chaos into order. The grace of God would transform chaos into order. Three, the word hovering. Now this is not a hoverboard. This is the Hebrew rachaf. R-A-C-H-A-P-H. Rachaf. And rachaf means to incubate, to brood, to hover. Four, raw calf was used for mother birds sitting on their eggs and incubating them, and then when they hatch, sitting on their young to warm them up and give them vitality. That was raw calf. Mother birds sitting on their young to warm them and give them vitality. Five, in a similar way, God the Holy Spirit warmed and moved over the frozen earth, melting the water to prepare the earth for restoration and habitation. In a similar way, God the Holy Spirit rock-halved, warmed and moved over the frozen earth, melting the water to prepare the earth for restoration and habitation. Genesis 1:3, the verse that the Apostle Paul is alluding to. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Notice, he simply spoke. The 6 days of restoration are six literal days. And Jesus Christ just spoke. One, this is the verse that the Apostle Paul is alluding to in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So this is the verse that the Apostle Paul is alluding to in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Two, over the black chaos, the Spirit of God had warmed and regenerated the earth by melting the ice pack. Over the black chaos, the Spirit of God had warmed and regenerated the earth by melting the ice pack. Three, this prepared the earth for the creative Word of God. This prepared the earth for the creative Word of God. Four, during the 6 days of restoration, these were, how do we know they're literal days? Because it says morning and night, day one. Morning and night, day two. Morning and night, day three. If this was millions of years, it would have been morning, 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 a million morning, and then night, 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 night. Morning and night, day one. During the 6 days of restoration and creation, God spoke 8 times to proclaim the divine mandate. During the 6 days of restoration and creation, God spoke 8 times to proclaim the divine mandate. Five, the earth was a darkened, chaotic ruin when God spoke on the first day of restoration. The earth was a darkened, chaotic ruin when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on the first day of restoration. Six, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded light to come into existence, and there was light. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded light to come into existence, and there was light. Seven, he simply spoke, and it was done. He simply spoke, and it was done. So day one, Genesis 1, 3 through 5, that's day one. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one. So Genesis 1 through 5, day one. God began restoration with the creation of elemental physical light. This is not light from an illuminating body or a reflector. This is not a sun. This is not a moon. These are not stars. This is elemental physical light, not light from an illuminating body or reflector. Those things come on day four. So this is day one. Let's look over to day four. Look at verses 14 to 19. Genesis 1, 14 to 19. Here's day four. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give them light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning. Day four. See, this was all day four. All of the sun, moon, stars, that was all day four. This is day one. So day one, God began restoration with the creation of elemental physical light, not light from an illuminating body or reflector. That came in day four, verses 14 to 19. So day one, Genesis 1, 3 through 5, the first day of restoration. One, the first day of restoration saw the creation of light and its separation from darkness. The first day of restoration saw the creation of light and its separation from darkness. Two, throughout the first 3 days, God furnished the light that shone upon the earth without energizing any illuminating agents. Throughout the first 3 days, God furnished the light that shone upon the earth without energizing any illuminating agents. Three, it was on day four that God concentrated the elemental light in the sun, moon, stars, planets, comets, asteroids, verses 14 to 19. That was on day four. It was on day four that God concentrated the elemental light in the sun, moon, stars, planets, comets, asteroids. Therefore, on day one, God began restoration with the creation of elemental physical light, not light from an illuminating body or reflector. That would come later on day four. Light is radiant energy that makes the existence of life possible. Darkness cannot sustain plant, animal, or human life. The ice pack around the earth had been melted by the regenerating ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, now the creation of light would sustain life and prevent all the surface water on the earth from freezing once again. So this is what the Apostle Paul is alluding to. Just as the regenerating ministry of God the Holy Spirit melted the ice pack, and now there is God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, let there be light, and there was light. So we are all, as it were, tohu wa bohu at physical birth. All the way up to the time that the grace gospel is given to us, God the Holy Spirit in His common ministry, common grace ministry, makes it clear, turns the light on in our soul so we can see Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. And we place our faith in Christ. And at that instance, here we are in darkness. And we have been transferred by faith in Christ from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Regeneration. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So there, Paul is setting up this analogy, which is very awesome and fantastic. We'll continue on with this next week. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.